best shot. Father, we love you. We thank you for the opportunity, Lord, that you've placed upon us. Father, this is what we ask. We ask you to open us up so we can get this, Lord God. We need to get your word, Father. It needs to be a word that gets it crawls inside of us, Father, and begins to that ultimate task that it's been set with, Father, is to change us into the image of Jesus Christ. So, Father, this morning, in Jesus' name, Lord, anoint, I pray, each of our lives so that we may be receptors. In Jesus' name, amen. Open your Bibles, if you would, to 2 Corinthians chapter 3. 2 Corinthians chapter 3. Verse number 13. If I'm rushing, it's because I am. Unlike Moses, who put a veil over his face so that the children of Israel could not look steadily at the end of what was passing away, but their minds were blinded. For until that day, the same veil remains unlifted in the reading of the Old Testament because the veil was taken away in Christ. But even to this day, when Moses is read, a veil lies on their heart. Nevertheless, when one turns to the Lord, the veil is taken away. Now the Lord is the Spirit. And where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. But we all, with unveiled face, beholding as in a mirror the glory of the Lord, are being transformed into the same image from glory to glory, just as by the Spirit of the Lord. Now, if you'll flip over a little bit to Romans chapter 12, I want to read you another couple of verses. Romans chapter 12, verse number 1, it says, "Therefore I urge you, brothers, in the view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your spiritual act of worship. Do not conform any longer to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will." This morning, we're going to be talking about transformation, and I'm going to be very honest with you. I think all of us in this room, without exception, I can make this blanket statement. I don't believe anybody here is where we need to be. I think we are all in motion. We need to be something that we are not. As many of you have heard me say, you know, it wasn't very long ago, we bought some face cream that was supposed to change you. Whenever you put it on, it would make you look 10 years younger. It's awesome. When we got it in the mail, it didn't have any warning labels on it. Because if I got it on Caleb, he would have looked like he was 6. If I would have got it on one of these infants, it would have made him disappear. Are you with me? I mean, there's all kinds of things on television that it's said to change or transform your whole life. If you eat this meal, if you buy this exercise machine, how many of you all know that most of that stuff doesn't work? Okay, good. But I want to tell you something. Whenever God gets a hold of a human being, he literally transforms them. Come on. And we are in a process of being transformed. This morning, I want to talk about the word transformation or transform. It comes from a Greek word, and it's where we get the word metamorphosis. And it describes a change from one thing to another. And most of us are most familiar with the word metamorphosis whenever a little caterpillar crawls up and he spins a cocoon, and in just a few days, he comes out as a beautiful butterfly. A transformation. So the concept of the word transformation, it's this idea that the Apostle Paul touches on two different times here, but be transformed. We are being transformed. Christians are to undergo a complete change. Come on. Christians are to undergo a complete change, which is under the power of God, and it's going to find its expression as we undergo this change. It's going to change our character. It's going to change our conduct. If any of y'all have been serving the Lord for any length of time, you understand, as the transformation process takes place in your life, there's things that change about you, amen? The way you used to talk, the way you used to think, the way you used to act. How many of you act differently today? I do. There's only 5 other people in this room that act differently than they... Never mind. See, we are mandated as Christians to change by the power of God. We are caterpillars, but we're becoming butterflies. I'm just going to tell you something. If I'm out walking around, I'd much rather see a butterfly than a caterpillar. I'm going to say this. Butterflies are a whole lot less apt to be smashed. Okay, never mind. Paul uses this word in a very passive phrase. It indicates that this transformation is something that we allow to be done to us. See, God gets a hold of us and he starts transforming us. Come on. It's not something we do under our own power, because, folks, I'll be very honest with you. I've tried to change a few things in my life. I said, man, I'm going to change this. But without the power of Jesus Christ working on the inside of us, we are futile in our actions. But, man, God can transform. Woo! It's not what we do in our own power. You see, what we do is we submit to God, we submit to his power, and by his grace, we are changed from one form into the other. Literally, as 2 Corinthians 5:17, we become a new creation. But this leads us to another question. What's the goal of transformation? I mean, if I'm going to be transformed, I got to know the goal. Many of the young people in this room, you remember the old Transformers. You know, they'd give you this ugly-looking little thing, and you start flipping little gizmos on it, and all of a sudden it transforms into a robot or a dinosaur or like a Camaro. I don't know about the Camaro, but it sounded good at the time. What's the goal? As you're a Christian and you submit your life to Jesus, you go, Jesus, listen, man, I got to be transformed. There's some things that need to change in my life. And as we say, God, we need your power to change us. What is the ultimate goal in our transformation process? Is it just so you and I can be a little bit better tomorrow than we were yesterday? Folks, the goal of transformation, now get a hold of this, because this is a biggie. This isn't a little thing. This is a major, major thing in our lives. Our goal of transformation is to become like Jesus. See, I mean, some of y'all, that's the first time you ever heard that. That's our goal in transformation. It's to become like Christ. The Apostle Paul expressed it. It's been presented by God in all of these scriptures. The purpose of being a disciple is to become like your teacher. It's the goal of Christian living. If I'm living for Jesus, man, I got to get up in the morning and I got to say, listen, my goal today is to become more like Jesus than I was yesterday. Can I share something with you? There are days. No, I'm not going to share it. Never mind. No, I will. But you have to promise not to tell the district superintendent. By the way, we've got a new one now. Brother Kelly has retired and we voted a new guy in. So don't tell him. There are some days Okay, I'm going to rephrase that. There are times in some days that I can act a little bit unchristlike. Okay, I see some of you. Okay, I can act a lot unchristlike. Okay. Probably as most of us in this room. And so what we have to do is we have to determine that I'm going to be transformed. Because I'll be really honest with you guys, whenever I act unchristlike, come on. Whenever I act unchristlike, because this is what I know, I love Jesus Christ, and there's nothing that I want to do to put a stain on his robe by the way I act. There's nothing that I want to do to diminish the kingdom of God by the way that I act. Come on. See, I go to the store every once in a while and somebody's snotty to me in the store. They're snotty to me in the store. You know what? I have to be careful. You know why I have to be careful? Because I pastor out here. And when somebody's saying, oh, pastor, that church out there, Trinity Assembly, he's such a chicken gizzard. He chewed me out. I was just trying to do my job. You mean to say some folks, it don't make any difference whether I pastor out here or not. We should be kind to people. We should be Christ-like. Amen? So the goal of Christian living, that is all that we want to be transformed. Our new self is striving to be in the image of the Creator. That's what is happening on the inside of me. I'm striving to be like my Creator. Scripture we read out of Romans, to present our bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God. Isn't that what Jesus did while he was here on this earth? So we too have to offer ourselves a living sacrifice to prove that God's will is good, to prove that his will is acceptable, to prove that his will is perfect. That's, ultimately, folks, whenever you boil all of what Jesus did on earth, that's what he sought to do. He sought to show that God's way is the best way. Come on. That's it. And folks, I want to tell you something. Whenever you respond in love, whenever somebody is hateful to you, that's the way God does it. It's the best way. Amen. I'll say it for you. We have to demonstrate with our lives that God's way is right. Now, if y'all are saying, okay, Pastor, that's a big word, transformation. I'm going to tell you something. The task is way more big than the word. Anybody know what I'm talking about? Okay. But the alternative, because you're sitting out there and some of y'all are thinking like I'm thinking, you're thinking, okay, how can I get out of this? Listen, man, that's the way I was growing up, man. My mom catch me doing something, the first thing I thought of was, how can I get out of this? How can I change her mind so she will not beat me to death? And you know what I did? Most of the time I lied, and I want to tell you something. I was a crack liar. I was good. There was one. My mom, she'd just give up. She said, I really don't know if you're telling the truth or not, so I'm not going to beat you. Sometimes she'd just make a judgment call, and she'd say, I'm going to beat you. My mother. I wish she'd have chosen not to more often than she chose to. Or maybe I just wish I hadn't done so many things that she would have had to chose not to. See, the alternative to not being transformed, if you're out there trying to figure out a way, I don't have to do this, the alternative of transformation is to be conformed. That's what it says in Romans 12. To be conformed to this world. Do not conform to the pattern of this world. If we choose not to be transformed, then you and I got to throw up our white flag and say, I tell you what, I surrender to the ways of this world. And I got to be honest with you folks, I don't want to surrender to the ways of the world, because the world's way stinketh. It's no good. All of these crazy cockamamie ideas that are just all over the place today in our culture, they're not good. And so I am not going to conform to the pattern of this world. I choose to be transformed. Amen? And so this morning, a couple of questions for you. How different are you now, right now, first Sunday in June 2016, than you were a year ago? First Sunday in June 2015, how different are you? Okay, let me put it a different way. How much of you is new from 2015? Man, I'm going to just tell you something, folks. I struggled with that. I looked back at a whole year. That's 13 months. I look back. Come on, wake up, man. I looked back and I had a very difficult time finding a place in my life where I could say, listen, man, I'm new in that area of my life right there. I'm different in that area of my life right there. I'm just telling you, I struggle with it. I mean, I wanted to ask my wife. I really did. I wanted to say, okay, Renee, shoot straight with me. But I was scared to. You know what I'm saying? I mean, I was scared that she'd go, let's eat. Come on, I'm just being transparent. But now the next question that I got for you is probably even more important about the ones I just got through asking you. How different do you think you will be by the end of 2016? How different do you think you will be a year from now as we stand on 2017, the first Sunday in June? Let me just throw this out to you. You will be as different as you determine to be. Come on, let that soak in just a little bit. You will be as different as you determine to be. See, one of the basic purposes of the Church of Jesus Christ is to be an agent, a positive agent of transforming people's lives. Whenever people get involved with the church, whenever they get involved with Teen Challenge, it's an agent that God uses to transform people's lives so that they'll grow closer to Jesus Christ, so they'll grow closer to one another. That's the purpose of the church. It's understood that you can't grow closer to Jesus Christ unless you're in motion. You're not going to grow closer to Jesus Christ unless you choose to move. Come on. I'm going to have to do it. I'm telling you, I know this is hard, but it's an amen moment. Amen, Pastor, that was good. It kind of stung, but it's good. Folks, and the problem so often with Christianity and in my own life, I just choose to stay where I'm at. I think I'm okay, but yet I know the Spirit of God speaking to me on the inside says, man, you may be okay, but you may think you're okay, but I don't think you're so okay. Please don't misunderstand. I'm not talking about salvation. I'm born again, folks. I'm on my way to heaven. If I dropped right now, I'm going to be standing in the presence of Almighty God. But I want to be more like Jesus than I was yesterday. I don't want to constantly have to apologize for being a knucklehead. I want to love people like Jesus loved people. And so if I'm going to be that, I cannot remain where I am. I have to be willing to move. You can't grow closer to others if you are unmovable. You can't get where you're going by staying where you are. By the way, do you know where you're going? We say the church is in the business of transforming because that's what God does. He gets a hold of somebody's life and he transforms them. God is not out to make you better. He's not out to just improve you. He is out to completely transform you. See, I don't want to just set my goals low and say, man, I just really like to be better. Just better. Just want to be a little bit better. Man, I want to set my goals high. I want to say, I want to be like Jesus. Think about this. God has already transformed our spirits. Our spirits have been transformed. You're born again, man. I want to tell you something. Your spirit is different than it used to be. I can read the scripture. You can go there. It's Colossians chapter 1, verses 12, 13, and 14. He's transformed our personalities. Folks, our personalities, my personality is different than whenever I got born again. He's transformed me. It says in Colossians 3:9, it says, do not lie to each other, since you have taken off your old self with its practices, and you have put on the new self, which is being renewed in knowledge in the image of its creator. My personality is different. You know what? I don't lie to my mom anymore whenever I'm in trouble. I'll just flat out tell her, because I know there's about 1,400 miles in between us and her. Can't whoop me now. Going to transform our spirits. He's transformed our personalities. And he's going to transform our bodies. The Bible tells us in 1 Corinthians 15:51, it says, listen, I tell you a mystery. We will not all sleep, but we will be changed. In Philippians 3:20-21, it says, but our citizenship is in heaven, and we eagerly await a Savior from there, the Lord Jesus Christ, who by the power that enables him to bring everything under his control will transform our lowly bodies so that they will be like his glorious body. Woo! Man, that's good news. I'm sorry. But one of these days, I'm going to take on a totally different body, incorruptible, immortal, folks. It's going to be good. Amen? I may even have more muscles then as I'm going to have now. Okay, never mind. See, the individuals that make up the church, we're fixed on that threefold mission: to transform spirit, to transform personality, to transform bodies. And literally, as a church, we act as tour guides. We're bringing others to the one that can transform their spirit. I remember one time in Montana, God was just moving in a miraculous way in our church, and this young girl had just never experienced the power of God. She came to the altar, and God just blew her away. The next day, she went to school, and she tells everybody that she knew at school. She says, "Man, you got to come to service tonight. Our youth service is on Monday night." So she brings a whole cluster of friends with her, and she comes up to me after the service, and an altar call's going on, and she says, "Pastor, I want you to touch them like you touched me last night." And then she looks at them and she says, "Man, you're fixing to get it. You're fixing to get it." They really did get it. You see, that's our jobs. That's our mission, is to bring people to the transforming power of God so that he can transform their lives, to be a living expression of God's ability to transform our personality culture-wide. Prepare us for that day whenever our bodies are going to be transformed for eternity. Hallelujah. In every aspect of our existence, God is at work, and he is transforming us as individuals and as people, as the church. That's the good news. God's working to transform us, man. Folks, God has not just saved us and abandoned us. Oh, you're saved. Now you're on your own. No, God has entered into a process, if you would, of bringing transformation to our lives. One of the things that just blew me away whenever I got born again. Are y'all ready for this? Before I got born again, I had a terrible mouth. It wasn't that I needed teeth brushing. I just needed washed out with soap because it was a dirty mouth. Every other word I'd learned how to cuss in ways that nobody had ever cussed before. And I got born again. I'm telling you, man, I got miraculously saved, filled with the Holy Spirit on the first night. Couldn't speak in English for 3 days. I mean, man, Jesus was good. And I can remember going to work one day and losing my temper at work. And all of a sudden, I had to be censored. The guys that were been around me, if they had one of them buttons that they have on TV, you know, you'd have heard a lot of this. Beep, 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 beep. And I was appalled. I said, how in the world could a born-again believer speak like that? But let me tell you what happened. I submitted myself to God, and I said, "God, I got to get rid of this nonsense because it is not good to preach using words like that." Never mind. I'm sorry. No, I just knew I couldn't talk that way and be a Christian. And so I had to give over control of this mouth. And I'm going to tell you something. The process of transformation, because God didn't just abandon me whenever I got saved. He says, "Man, I'm going to work this process of transforming your mouth to where there's good things, positive things, life things that come out of your mouth." And it worked. See, it's not just this idea of from bad to good to better to best. Faith in Jesus Christ is not some self-help system to move you to excellence. You see, Christ wants to totally transform you. Folks, I'm not looking for better. I'm not looking for good. I'm looking for the absolute best there is, and that is for me to talk like Jesus. To walk like Jesus walked, to love like Jesus walked, to do the things that Jesus did. That is my ultimate goal, and that's what Christ's goal is for me. He wants to forever transform me. He wants us to become as he is. So whoever you are, wherever you are, if you're not yet there, can I just ask a question quickly? Because I would really like to eat lunch with you if you answer this in the affirmative. Is there anybody in this room that you are there right now? I mean, you have made it to that transforming process and you are just like Jesus. Oh, man, I was hoping somebody could help me. See, the fact of the matter is this, folks. None of us have made it. We are all in the transforming process. And so that's why it's so important for a message like this to find us on a Sunday morning here at the first Sunday in June, finding ourselves thinking about, hey, listen, I probably need to be transformed in some ways in some areas of my life because I'm not yet there. See, the Bible's idea of transformation or transforming isn't simply just a change. It's not just an improvement. You see, God is at work in us, recreating who you are. Are you with me? He's doing a deeper work than just an improvement. I just want to improve on the old self. No, I want to become like Jesus. I want a reprogramming to take place in my mind. I want it to redefine my values. I want a deep work, the work of Christ in my life, so as that I might become like Him. In Romans 8:29, it says, for those God foreknew, He also predestined to be what? Conformed into the likeness of His Son. So God has this ongoing desire. Now understand this. God has this ongoing desire to transform us. He looks at us, and folks, let me just tell you something. He knows. See, we can dress up in our best Sunday clothes and we can come and, man, we can say all the right things on Sunday morning. We can do all the right things. But God knows where we live at, doesn't He? And the thing is, He doesn't want to take anything away from us that's going to enhance our lives. He only wants the things that are going to destroy us. So this morning, I'm going to start this and I'm going to have to continue next week. But there's basically two different methods, if you would, that God uses to transform people. First method is this, from the inside out. Second method is from the outside in. And so if some of you are sitting in here and you're going, Pastor, I'm going to tell you something. There's some things right now I believe the Spirit of God is speaking to me, and there's some areas that I just need to be transformed in, and you're getting all excited about being transformed, and you say, okay, well, there's two methods, from the inside out and from the outside in. That's great. Let me share something with you real quickly. No type of change is friction-free. I said that the best I possibly could. No type of change is friction-free. All types of transformation has a part and parcel that's going to come with some very uncomfortable aspects. Every kind of change, every kind of transformation that God brings to us is going to have... Did you like the way I said that? I thought that was clever. It's going to have some uncomfortable aspects. How many of you have ever had one of those uncomfortable aspects? Okay, good. You know what I'm talking about then. And you can attest that I'm telling the absolute truth. Some uncomfortable aspects. Whew. Or a lot of other things you could say. Okay, so let's talk about the inside-out transformation. First type. Inside-out transformation happens to those, or in those areas where you are willing to be adjusted, when you are open to something new, and when you are sensitive to His interests. Inside-out transformation happens to in those areas whenever you are willing to be adjusted. And that's the way we all are, right? When you're open to something new. I've been wearing the same kind of socks for about 30 years. Never mind, I've been wearing the same socks for 30 years. Sometimes Renee goes, you know, let's buy you some different kind of socks. No, I don't want different socks. I want those. Well, they quit making them. Whenever all the people in the factory died, they got old. We can find anything on eBay. When you're open to something new, many of us are not open to something new. We're creatures of habit. We're people who get in ruts. And everybody said, amen. He does this kind of inside out kind of thing. He does it whenever we become sensitive to his interests. There was this guy named Ananias. I talked about him a little bit last week. Ananias is the guy who prayed for the Apostle Paul, except he was named Saul then. God speaks to him and says, Ananias, I want to send a guy I want you to pray for. Ananias goes, oh, whoa, wait a minute. This guy's called all kind of problem for Christians. I don't want anything to do with him. But God speaks to Ananias and says, listen, it's bigger than you, Ananias. I'm paraphrasing. And Ananias, you know what ended up happening? An inside-out change. He says, okay, send him to me. I'll pray for him. And he did. Amen? There was a guy named Peter. He was sitting up on a rooftop. And folks, Peter was a Jew all the way to the bone. Are y'all with me? There was a lot of things that Jews could not eat. It was prohibited. God brings this vision down in front of him and unfolds a sheet. And there's all kinds of animals in there. And God says, hey, kill them and eat them. And Peter goes, no way! I would never, ever eat that barbecued pork. Oh, aren't you glad God changed that thing? Oh, yeah. Peter says no, and God speaks to him again and again, and finally Peter, from the inside out. Are y'all with me? See, Peter and Ananias, they were willing to be adjusted. They were open to something new, and they were sensitive to God's interest. That's the inside out. Transformation, a lot of times, and now, have you ever noticed something about somebody that they didn't notice about themselves? You know, they behaved in a certain manner that they couldn't see themselves. I'm not talking about, you know, something hanging out their nose. I know where y'all are at. You know, I mean, they spoke in a way that they shouldn't speak. You noticed it. That's oftentimes what we call a blind spot. A lot of times that comes from the way they were raised. See, their dad's dad, and their dad's dad's dad all spoke the same way. And we know that it's not right because the scriptures are there. Hey, you understand what I'm saying? But they can't see it. It's a blind spot. And oftentimes, that's the vision on the rooftop of Peter as he went to Cornelius' household. He had this blind spot. And we have to say, listen, I'm going to overcome the opposition that I would normally have to change my way of thinking. Folks, it happened here in the South. There came a time where they said, everybody is equal. Come on. It doesn't make any difference of what your color is. You are equal. In the 1960s, in the Civil Rights Movement, folks, I'm going to tell you, it's one of the best things that ever happened to our country is to bring everybody onto an equal place. But change had to take place in the South. Amen? Come on. So now let's talk about the outside-in transformation. Now remember, I said inside out, you have to be willing to be adjusted, you have to be open to something new, and you have to be sensitive to his interests. Outside-in transformation is much different. It happens in those areas where you are hiding and you are not open to change. I used Saul a moment ago and Ananias. Let me just tell you something. Saul had been moved upon by the Holy Spirit days, weeks, months prior to his Damascus Road experience. Are y'all with me? In other words, it didn't just happen on the Damascus Road. Jesus was speaking to him. He said, hey, guys, you're all messed up. Saul, you're all messed up. You shouldn't be doing what you're doing. But you see, he was stiff-necked. He said, no, I know best. Come on. Man, the Jews were that. The Jews were people who God constantly had to do something from the outside in to change them. Man, there was times when the ground opened up and sucked a whole multitude of them down, and everybody goes, okay, we'll change. Come on. Snakes came and started biting them. That is the ultimate thing that God could do. Man, I'm praying, God, don't send snakes into my house. Man, I was with somebody the other day, and she told me when she was a girl, she woke up and there was a snake in her bed in between her and her sister. And I said, don't tell me stories like that. I don't want to have nightmares. God sent snakes to change the mind of the Israelites. Are y'all with me? There was this time after time after time. God used these outward things to make an inward transformation. See, the challenge with each one of these ways, the inside out or the outside in, is to choose that experience will make a positive transformation. Are y'all with me? Because see, if it's an outside-in transformation, and all of a sudden you just get bitter about it, you go, man, I hate everything, and then just walk away. Because how many of you are like me? God has used inside out, and he's also used some outside in. And see, we got to choose that however God uses to transform me is that it's going to be a positive transformation. Because if it's not a positive transformation, it's going to be negative. And if it's a negative transformation, then it cannot be a valuable transformation. Okay, let's do a quick poll. Y'all ready? You have to raise your hands in affirmative or the other. Raise your hand if you have read the Bible or you heard a sermon, you heard the Spirit of God speaking to you in a prayer this past year about some way that you should be different, and then you made an effective change from that interaction. In other words, you heard the word, you heard a sermon, God speaks to you, and you go, I'm changing. And you made a change because of something that... Let me see how many hands. Okay. How many of you made a change because you had an experience this past year that made a significant change in the way you live? Let me tell you, I'll tell you a big change. Mr. Christopher Paul, who has been a bachelor for all of his life, he takes on a new wife. And I'm just going to tell you something. I don't care who you are, you better change. And if getting married isn't enough, just an example. See, this is you had an experience this past year, made this significant change in the way you live. You took on a spouse, or you had a child born into your house. My wife and I have been playing with Jalen and Clinton because they come over and you know, the baby's fussy or whatever, and we say, you know, I don't ever remember of any of our kids being fussy. You know, they come over, their little eyes are all bloodshot because they've been up all night long. And I go, you know, every one of our kids came home and they slept all night, every night. Kids will change you, yes? I mean, the list goes on. You could have had an illness, you could have had an injury, but you had something from the outside change the way you are inside. Let me see how many hands did that. Wow, I'm surprised, because generally that is the way we most often change is from the outside in. Inside out, outside in. Some of the transformations that we've experienced were by our own choice. Some may have been thrust upon us. Some of them we may have gladly embraced. Some of them are welcomed like a car wreck. You ever had one of them? Some changes, whether it's inside out or outside in, they came about from a personal time with God. Maybe others from events we don't understand, but either way, this is what I'm trying to say. God is at work in each one of us to create good according to His pleasure for each of us. And these next few weeks, I told Brother Mike, I said, I'm starting a series this morning. I don't know if it's going to be 5 sermons or 50. Because there's a lot the Bible talks about in regards to change. Folks, if we are not changing, we are motionless. And we as an individual, we as a group of people, as a family, as a congregation, or even as a ministry, we have to be in motion. We have to be. God has to be changing us in order for us to be what it is He has called us to be. And so, I will tell you personally, I can look back on some of the outside-in changes in my life, and I see God trying to get my attention before anything happened. Does that make sense? I mean, I look back and I look at one of those changes that God brought to me from the outside in. I was really chastised one time, or rebuked one time, that's a better word for it, by somebody that seen something in my life. It was a blind spot. I thought I was okay. I wasn't okay. Are y'all with me? I had a meeting with this guy, and he said, I just need to say something to you. And he said, it's going to hurt. Chihuahua. And he spilled it out. And for about 30 seconds, I wanted to poke him in the nose. Or at least kick him in the shins. And it hurt. And I went home, thought about it, prayed about it. And then what God began to reveal to me is, for time and time again, He'd been speaking to me about the very thing that He had to come to my life in a hard way. Are y'all there? And so this morning, this is where I'm at. We all need to be transformed. But 2 to 1, this preacher chooses from the inside out. Okay, 5 to 1. Okay, 10 to 1. Are y'all with me? I would much rather hear the voice of God and bend to His word, bend to His will, than to have something come along in my life that's going to hurt. And I'm not saying that that hurt is a result of God bringing something to my life that's despicable, but I'm saying, folks, He uses things to teach us. He uses everything for our good. I'd much rather be changed from the inside out than the outside in. Let me just say that personally, and let me say that as a family. I love my kids. I love my grandkids. And I'm praying that all the work God has to do in them, He can do it from the inside out. I pray the same thing for this church. Because let me just make sure all of us know, we have got to change. We have got to be more like Jesus every day, or we will never fill the pews in this building. And so in these next few weeks, we're going to talk about transformation. We're going to talk about the metamorphosis that God wants to bring to our lives. And this is my prayer, that I'm not too dull to listen. I pray that we as a body are not too dull to listen. Jared, if you'll come and help me close this morning.